And shakers, my mind building on skyscrapers and acres. He said, take us back to where we belong. I try to write a song as sweet as the Psalms. Though I'm the type to bear arms and wear my heart on my sleeve. Even when I fell in God, I believe. Read the days and weave through the maze and the seasons so amazing. Feed them and raise them. Seasons are aging. Earthquakes, wars, and rumors. I want us to get by, but we more than consumers. We more than shooters, more than looters. Created in His image, so God lived through us. And even in this generation, living through computers, only love can reboot us.
Come on, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed.
Oh, wake up, everybody, yeah.
Because I need a little help.
Can't do it alone. Oh, I need a little help. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I need a little help, y'all. Can't do it alone. Oh, I need a little help, y'all. Can't do it alone.
Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody, and let us walk together. Trevor Hudson of South Africa, who's written the book Walking in My Shoes, says that our times cry out for a gospel-shaped spirituality that is both intensely personal and deeply aware of our suffering neighbors. I am convinced sisters and brothers in Christ, that we have a story that is so compelling that it must be told. We have a mandate that is so clear that it must be obeyed. We have a harvest that is so ripe, an opportunity that is so real, an invitation that is so strong that it must be pursued. The biblical mandate to Israel from the prophet Micah speaks to the hospitality of justice and the character and economy of true community that is made real in the New Testament witness of Jesus and in the church in its infancy as we read it in the book of Acts. In Micah, God has controversy with his people, the same people that God saved and brought out and sent forth. Today, we still ask the questions, what is good? What is required of all who would accept the invitation to the table? In our communion ritual, we say all who declare a love for Christ and who would earnestly repent of our sins and seek to live in peace with our neighbors, you are welcome. Micah the sixth chapter, the eighth verse from the Message Bible. But God has already made it plain how to live and what to do. What is God looking for in men and women? It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously, but take God seriously. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly, and today I say walk together with God. Socrates said that there is nothing to be preferred before justice. Doing justice requires investing in relationships and making necessary changes that allow us to honor the dignity of every single person as a child of God. Justice means investing in the freedom of people to reach their highest potential, allowing families to support themselves and invest in their children's education. A powerful ministry called the Empower Her program was initiated in Nigeria by the Iowa-Nigeria Partnership. Women in Nigeria are granted loans for businesses and training in operating their own small business. The new sources of income that come from selling their yams and their crafts and the items that they're able to make and produce, that income is now used to support their families and repay the loans, allowing for additional women to participate in this microfinancing and empowerment program that is benefiting the quality of life in villages and cities all over Nigeria. Over 400 women in less than 1 year have been blessed and empowered by this mighty program. We ought to give God a hand praise. In his book, Who Will Be Saved, Bishop Will Willimon says, if we want to be close to Jesus, and that is a good definition of a Christian, one who wants to be close to Jesus, then we must go where he goes. We go to church on Sunday to worship a God who allows us to be the church and to go where Jesus goes. Friends, our greatest challenge as a church, as a denomination, and as an annual conference is not the loss of membership, influence, or even relevance. Our greatest challenge is to go where Jesus goes and to welcome whom Jesus welcomes. Paul writes in Ephesians, the second chapter, the 19th verse, "So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. And as members of the household of God, and as United Methodists, doing justice has never been an add-on. Justice for our neighbors. We call it JFON. It's a ministry of the United Methodist Church that was started in 1999 with support from the United Methodist Committee on Relief. Justice for our neighbors is a welcoming ministry for immigrants, providing high quality legal services, education, and advocacy. Friends, when I travel outside of Iowa, people talk about the work of JFON in Iowa and the intentional hospitality of justice characterized by this ministry that you support. This cannot happen without volunteers and without generosity. I would argue that this ministry, JFON, is not a ministry of charity or arm's length mercy. This is a sign of our faithfulness, our commitment to doing justice by seeking justice. I am inviting you to a season of conversations and study on immigration and the Christian witness. And I will be joining a team of lay and clergy from our conference to produce a Bible study resource to be available to local churches this fall. Vital congregations are congregations that engage in study, prayer, and conversation and commitment to outreach. Wake up, everybody. Let us walk together. What does faithful discipleship look like in our time? We've seen the studies, and some of us have read the State of the Church report. The Council of Bishops of the United Methodist Church is leading the church in four areas of focus: developing principal Christian leaders, ministry with the poor, global health, and new places for new people, new communities of faith, renewed places, vital congregations that nurture deeper faith and timely outreach. The Reverend David Shank writes about mission relations and opportunities on the continent of Africa, and his words apply to our witness as well. The missionary challenge remains to recognize what God has already done in the midst of a given moment. And I might add, what God is doing right now, that we might build bridges and discover means to encourage resources and exercise commitments that permit further movement toward the transformation of the world in God's own time. I must confess that I was tempted to challenge you this conference and this Episcopal address to outcome goals and numerical targets for professions of faith, to challenge you to increase worship attendance. However, my challenge for you and for me is that we would go deeper and walk together, attempting great things in the name of God. Recently, words have become popular in our language, in our church lingo: adaptive change, accountability of our leadership, alignment of our resources. Friends, I want to say we can handle change if we are willing to walk together. We can handle and benefit from change if we are willing to love like Jesus and keep our eyes focused on Christ.
Oh, no. I'm lost! Where's the line? It just went away. Dude, what do I do?
Help!
We'll be stuck here forever.
Do not panic. Do not panic. We are trained professionals. Now stay calm. We are going around the leaf.
Around the leaf? I don't think we can do that.
Oh, nonsense. This is nothing compared to the twig of 93. That's it. That's it. Good. You're doing great. There you go. There you go. Watch my eyes. Don't look away.
We can handle change if we walk together. We can handle and benefit from change if we are willing to love like Jesus and keep our eyes focused on Christ. If we stay focused on the things that matter most, caring for ourselves even as we care for others, investing in new communities of faith, telling the stories of Jesus without apology. I call it the Fit Challenge. And believe me, it doesn't take an act of Congress to join the Fit Challenge. Jesus says, look at me, and you will be just fine. An overarching theme in the Fit Challenge is walking together. And some of us have already walked during this annual conference and have had opportunity to walk here since we've been here. Accountability and alignment go together. I define alignment as everybody wanting the same thing and everybody willing to work to that end. I want to promote in the Iowa Annual Conference a culture and ethos of abundance and generosity, not scarcity and competition. I want us to trust God and to help reach new people and risk new communities of faith. Yes, we can do it, and we've done it before, and we can do it again. Friends, here is what I have learned by listening. You have a bishop who has spent more time listening than talking. And this is what I've learned by listening. Lay and clergy have said it so many times. Bishop, we need to go deeper before we can expect to reach farther. Deeper in our love and deeper in our study of Holy Scripture. Deeper in our commitments to relationships that last. Deeper in our commitment to radical hospitality of justice. It makes no sense to invite more people to a place where the spiritual quality of community life is lukewarm at best. It makes no sense to invite more people to a place if the main course that's offered for lunch and supper is conflict and confusion. I may not be talking about your church, but there's a church nearby. We need to go deeper before we can expect to go farther. Counselors often remind us that we must work on ourselves. So I am committed, and you ought to be committed, and we can commit one another that we would go deeper in our prayer lives and our walk with Christ and our neighbors. We must go deeper in our commitments to justice that is radical enough to make us uncomfortable. This is what I've learned by asking. People will give if they are invited to join the movement of the Holy Spirit. I've learned that. People will give if they are invited to join the movement of the Holy Spirit. Last year, in this room, I told you we could save lives without even leaving the room. In less than 15 minutes at last year's annual conference, in less than 15 minutes, 114 cell phones were raised, and we text End No Malaria, and in less than 15 minutes, $1,140 was raised by the Iowa Annual Conference without leaving the room to end malaria and to purchase mosquito nets. Give God a hand praise. The Iowa Annual Conference raised more money by texting to end malaria than any other conference in 2010, even those that had big presentations by the General Board of Global Ministry. I asked and you responded. And so it is with the people of God. Today I'm asking you to join in a movement to go deeper. Go deeper as we step out on faith and we begin to start new communities of faith. Let us go deeper as we magnify love while others are promoting hate. Let us go deeper as we commit to walk together while others choose to walk alone. You know, if you want to go fast, walk alone. But if you want to go far, walk together. I'm inviting you today to become a United Methodist builder and to join your bishop as we bless churches in our own annual conference who are extending their ministry, who are extending their outreach. Congregations every year, two congregations who will be blessed and who have been blessed by receiving builders' calls. I'm inviting you to join your bishop and bless two congregations annually who receive the builder's call. Friends, I want to be honest with you. We have been living beneath our kingdom potential. On average, you're right. On average, we have been raising about $25,000 to $30,000 for builder's call. This is in a conference with 180,000 United Methodists. 25,000. That means that a core group of people have been responding just twice a year to support these churches as they extend their outreach, as they extend their buildings, as they increase their witness in communities. On your tables today, you have a sign me up sheet. Sign me up to be a United Methodist builder. And this is what I want you to do. I want those of you who are able to become a builder, if you're not already a builder, those of you who have been a builder, but you've fallen off the radar screen, sign up and become a builder. And if you're able to give $100, then check $100. That means twice a year you will receive a call, an invitation to send in $100 to support one of the congregations that's extending its outreach and ministry through a building expansion or program. I am committed to giving $150 twice a year, and I would invite the superintendents and the ministry cabinet and others, some who've already been doing this, if we could step up our leadership. And I invite the lay leaders of every congregation and every pastor in the Iowa Annual Conference to give the invitation to people to have an opportunity to bless other congregations. Give God a hand praise. We should be raising over $100,000 at each call if 10% of our membership were invited to participate in United Methodist Builders. We've been living beneath our kingdom potential. Don't get me wrong, $25,000 is a boost, but it isn't building very much. The Iowa Church Builders should lead the connection as we support expansion and building. These are our churches, these are our ministries that are reaching to serve communities in urban and rural and farming communities. These are our churches that can do more if we stick together and walk together. My goal is to raise 1,000 new builders over the next year before we gather again at annual conference. And I want to encourage faithful former builders to come back and come back strong. The minimum ask is $25, but if you're able to give more, please do. If you are willing to become a builder, if you are already a builder, if this is the first time you've heard about it, but you're willing to support two churches a year, when we extend the builder's call, would you stand and give God a hand praise right now? By your standing, you have already increased the church builders. Let me end with Luke, the 7th chapter, and a story from Africa. Luke 7:22, the followers of John went to Jesus and asked him if he was the one or should they wait for another. Jesus said, "You go tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. You go tell them what you have seen and what you have heard." Friends, I believe that we have a story that is so compelling that it must be told. We have a harvest that is so ripe. We have a mandate that is so clear. We have an invitation that is so real that it must be pursued. When I went to Nigeria this last visit, as I was preparing to leave Bev Noti, I asked them a question: why is the church growing so much in Nigeria, in spite of all of the problems you've had with bad roads and the lack of water and poverty and infrastructure and conflict? How is it that your churches are growing and your ministry continues to flourish? Here's what they said: we build a school and then we worship. We provide health services at a clinic, a rural clinic, and then we worship. We dig a well that's deep enough to get fresh drinking water, and we worship. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we expect something to happen, and usually it does. I believe when the gospel is preached and lived out, something is going to happen because God is in the work. People join the church, and the church joins the people, because, you know, Methodists know where the drinking water is. And friends, I want you to leave today, and I want you to leave at this annual conference with a commitment that we will walk together and go deeper in our faith so that we might go farther in our outreach. We will walk together even as we experience holy conferencing. We don't have to all agree on the same thing, but we can follow like the little bugs. We can follow the leader if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Well, Bishop, what is it that we have that is so powerful? You're Methodist, United Methodist. You know where the drinking water is: Jesus Christ, who is the well that will never run dry, the fire that will never burn out, the bank that will never go broke, and the friend that will never forsake you. Jesus is the one who reminds us that we live only by the amazing grace of God. I want us to walk together in amazing grace as we commit to establishing new communities of faith and to the hospitality of doing justice, as we walk together expecting great things from God, even as we attempt great things for God. Why? Because God's grace is amazing and sufficient. Was blind.